Jesus called before the crowd another parable. The kingdom of heaven might be compared to someone who sowed good seeds in his field. But while everybody was asleep, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plant came up and the bowl grew, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and asked to him, "Master, did you not sow good seeds in your field? Where then did those weeds come from?" He answered, "The enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No. For in gathering the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn." Then he left the crowds and they went into the house. And his disciples approached him saying, "Explain to us the parable of weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seeds is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seeds are the children of kingdom. The weeds are the children of evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is end of the age. And the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers. And they will throw them into a furnace of fire, where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen. The gospel of the Lord. I want to introduce myself to you. Even a lot of people know my name, Wei Wei Bei. Wei Wei is Chinese name. Bei is Danish last name. Wei Wei often used to describe in Chinese meaning dark, unlimited blue sky. That's my name. Bei is my husband's surname because his father immigrated from Denmark in 1908. So just by hearing my name, I describe myself, I immigrate, Chinese American. A few weeks ago, I got a surprise email from past Ben. He asked me, "Hey, Wei Wei, would you like to preach on July 19th? "What? Preach? Me? No way." I even didn't finish read the whole email right away. I said, Pastor Bean, thank you for your trust and believe in me. I don't think my English is good enough. I don't have that confidence. Well, I keep this in my mind. Someday when my English is getting better, I got more confident, I'll consider it. Replied and went to bed. Well, this surprise email started to stir my mind, brought me all the way to more than 60 years ago. Sorry, you know my age. That's okay. From that poor Chinese little girl to today, where I am, and just like a document's moving, just pass by in front of me, just picture by picture, day by day, year by year. In a sudden, I realized, hey, Weiwei, this is not about you. It's not about language. It is about the great opportunity to share God's love, God's power, and with my journey with all of you today. So I got up very early next morning. First thing I replied, Pastor Bean. I said, yes, I will do it. I guess Pastor Bean next morning come to office, saw two emails from me with totally different answers. So here we go from no way to there is a way. So let's do it. One of the deepest questions people always ask in the history is this. If God is good and all-powerful, why do good and evil coexist in the world? When we look around us, we see beauty and the brokenness growing side by side, love and hatred, truth and lies, compassion and cruelty, hope and despair, all seem to exist together in the same world. Jesus answered this question in the parable of wheat and the weeds. He tells us that the Son of Man sowed good seeds in his field, but while everybody was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. When the servant discovered those weeds, they immediately asked, Master, do you want us to go and pull them up? But the master replied, no. Let both grow together until the harvest. Those words are difficult for us to accept because we want to move those evil right away. But Jesus tells us that God is doing something deeper. In his patience, God protecting the wheat. Jesus explains, the one who sowed the good seeds is the Son of the Man. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The Bible never minimizes evil. It tells us plainly that evil is real. Evil plants fear where God intends peace. Evil plants hatred where God intends love. Evil plan lies where God intends truth. Evil works by distorting what God has made good. When I read this parable of wheat and weeds, I realize that God was answering a question I had carried in my heart for many years. I belong to what is called China Lost Generation, the generation whose lives were deeply affected by Cultural Revolution. Okay, let me introduce those two pictures. First picture is my family, my mom, dad, my little brother, and me. That picture, I look very chumpy. Doesn't look like living in starvation for 3 years during the 1960 to 1963, because after my brother was born, it was starvation, famous, very well-known meanings of Chinese died by that 3 years. And my mom, my parents had sent me to the countryside to live with my grandparent. They were farmers. So my grandparents, they tried very hard to plant corn, soybeans, watermelon, you name it. Every corner around their house, I even remember on the trench, every part of the dirt and the soil was something my grandparents planned for me to eat. And after a couple of years, and I think that I was 4 years old, my dad came to my grandfather's place to take me back to the city. My grandfather said, "How come my beautiful girl turned to be a little fat?" Didn't use ugly, but something like had turned to be this kind of a country girl. But I thank God and thank my grandparents for me didn't starve to death during those 3 years. So let's back to Cultural Revolution. I witnessed firsthand the turbulent years of Cultural Revolution, which is from 1966 to 1976, 10 years. During those years, the entire generation learned what it means to live in the field where weeds has been sown. Schools were closed, education was interrupted. Many young people lost the opportunity to learn, to work, even to dream. Some of the unforgettable memories that remain vivid in my mind, that was beginning of 1966, the very beginning of Cultural Revolution. I just want to quick, brief, bring two pictures to you what I was deeply hurt, and those pictures still stuck into my mind up to today. One is my dear neighbor. We call him Grandpa Ye because he always liked to told our couple of kids together some interesting stories. So one morning, I got up and get ready to go to school. I opened the door, I saw a whole bunch of people. A crowd of people stood in front of Grandpa Ye's window and looked up. I just accidentally and locked the window. Grandpa Ye hung himself in the window. I scared and right away come to home, told my mom. My mom said, last night, the Red Guard came to his house and talk all the stuff like arts and the valuable stuff, especially books from him, he was scared to leave. Another picture, it is my mom worked for art school, and my mom is one of secretary to the school. And I, from little, I knew all the artists, well-known writers and musicians. They were dear, we call them uncle and aunts. They were teachers to that school. But the early of 1966, the picture what I remember is they all kneeled on the ground, bound their hand on the back, and their hair, what we call yin yang style, which is one side still with black hair, another side shaved bald. So I just let you know how hard and hurt those memories inside of me. When I was only second grade student, our textbooks disappeared because when I was first grade, I learned to read all the textbooks. There are beautiful stories to describe flowers, spring rain, and I was so excited to go to school every morning and eager to learn. But the second grade, which is early 1966, all the textbooks disappeared. Instead of studying Chinese language, history, mathematics, every child was required to memorize quotations from Chairman Mao. If you are, also called Little Red Book. Every day, we copy those quotations again and again. Every day, we go to school, the first thing, teacher would randomly pick up some of the students, call your name to stand up, to recite the quotations you learned from yesterday class. One mistake could lead to punishment, which is call you, walk back to the classroom, stood there, hold your hand behind your back, stand there for 10 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes, even sometimes for the whole class, which is 45 minutes for a 7-year-old child. Repeated mistake could cause a child to be labeled politically unreliable. I often failed to recite those quotations correctly. Not because I'm lazy, not because I don't want to spend time to do my homework, but because I simply could not understand those words, which has no meaning to me. Before long, I became known as a girl who was not red enough. Some of my classmates mocked me. A few teachers punished me. Fear became part of my child's daily life. In the gospel, the servant want to remove weeds immediately. Shall we go and pull them up? They ask. But the master answered, no. Because while you're pulling up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. Throughout this parable, we see the patience of God. The parable reminds us that we are living between sowing and harvest. Therefore, we should not be surprised by the presence of evil in the world. In China, while the school were filling our mind with propaganda, something very different was happening in my home. My father has secretly preserved, I would call hidden, a collection of Chinese history books and classical literature in his corner of closet. I have to explain, during the Cultural Revolution, all the books from history all considered bad element need to be get rid of. So I thank my dad so brave to keep those books. So one day I found them, and I think between age of 8 to 11, I read almost all of them. So while weeds were being sown in the classroom, God had quietly preserved good seeds in my home. Many books are difficult to understand. You probably know, for 8 years old girl and didn't have enough vocabulary to understand every page. But my dad told me how to use dictionary. In that way, I learned a lot of new words, started enjoying reading those books. Those books told me courage, justice, compassion, love, and mercy. Looking back now, I realized something amazing. While one system was trying to shape my mind, God was quietly trying to plant weeds in my heart. At that time, I didn't know Christ, to be honest, because China was totally closed from outside of the world. And I was told every dinner and be told, hey, don't forget how happy, how lucky you are. There's a lot of American kids that are living in the poor and starving and suffering life. Well, you probably know when you were young what your parents told you. Yeah, same story, but they're not Chinese, they're not American kids, they're Chinese children. So during my childhood and youth, I had never heard about Bible and Christ, but Christ already knew me. One day, I passed by my neighbor, Mrs. Jones' window. She was always smiling to me, waved to me, but that evening, that afternoon, she opened the window, she saw me, said, hey, Weiwei, would you like to hear a beautiful song? Because she was always sitting in the house, hardly get out of her house because she was paralyzed from the waist down. She was beaten badly by Red Guard during Cultural Revolution. The reason she got beat hard, badly and paralyzed because She used to work as telephone operator for Embassy of the United States in Nanjing of China during the Second World War. because he spoke fluent English. So early of the Cultural Revolution, she was suspected of being an American spy. Anyway, I went to her house. She closed the door, closed the window quietly, started singing this beautiful song. When she almost finished the song, I realized, wow, this is another language. I could not understand a single word. But the melody was so beautiful, so peaceful. It just caught my heart. I was so eager to want to learn. I said, yes, yes, please teach me how to sing. She said, well, if you want to sing this song, you need to learn English. English? I didn't think about anything. I said, okay, yes. She said, okay, from tomorrow, after class, school, come to my house. I will teach you English 10 to 20 minutes every afternoon. So I started with her. She started teaching me A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So later, words by words, sentence by sentence, eventually, I could sing this beautiful song, which is Silent Night. The Cultural Revolution closed China universities for many, many years because education considered a big dangerous to Chinese young generation. Like millions of young people, I lost opportunity to receive a normal education. I entered the art school in 1971. I have to explain this reason because I told you Chinese closed all the professional college and university for more than 10 years. Why I got a chance to go to professional training boarding school. In 1971, Mao Zedong's wife, she thought, okay, let's training and to have some young artists who were born in the countryside. By the way, I never looked down farmers countryside because I was survived and I was children of farmers. And well, her thought it is instead of have those bad artists, let's train our red loyal to Chinese revolution and loyal to our leader, just like North Korea now. So they resumed those professional school and let me put it this way. They have a limitation, gave 10 to 15% of opportunity to the kids who was born in city, who were already have a sense of about art, and they might have a good condition of to be a dancer, musician, and artist. So I was the lucky one, passed the exam to be enrolled this 4 years boarding school. Supposed to become red, royal to revolution dancer. But now I think about the most motivation for me to get into this school, to go with this path, actually is to try and escape the, how to say, being sent to countryside we call forced labor and political re-education, because by that time across the board, all the high school students have to go to countryside to live there, work there, to supposed to be become the new generation taking care of China and to be, future leader. So, thank God I escaped that being sent to forced labor. During my 4 years at the boarding school, I suffered deeply from psychological persecution. Once again, I was judged for not being ready enough. I was criticized simply because I was very passionate in reading about life, about the nature, the beauty of this world. Sometimes I call stupid, like always say, hey, look at those flowers, how pretty they are. So when I was only 15 years old, I was labeled a bourgeois element. Someone considered politically dangerous and become a target of punishment, pretty much being a target of humiliation. So one time I was locked in the black dark little room, started writing down and examining myself. Why I like reading books, why I like flowers, why I like beauty, why I try to make my hair a little bit curved. Anyway, and also I have to read those words in front of 100,000 students. Now I understand why I never gave up the dream. One dream in my heart. It is someday, if I'm lucky enough, how happy it would be for me to sitting in the clean classroom and to listen to teacher teach me knowledge and to understand what's going on about the world. When I was 18 years old, I made a very difficult decision. I decided to quit my dance job. Even I was a leading dancer in that opera house. Even I only graduated less than 3 years. You know, after 4 years hard work in boarding school, and only 18 years old, that is a golden age for a dancer. But I decided no more. So I found a job in museum. At the very beginning, I was assigned to do some manual labor for cleaning the dining and the halls, offices, and even bathroom. I never complained because there's so many experts, history professors, scholars around me. I always beg them, would you teach me to read classical Chinese literature, because I had no that part of education. Thank God, some of them always say yes. So I, words by words, page by page, book by book, in this way, I'm trying to recover the education that had been taken away from me. Later, after a couple of years, China resumed the education, so all the university restarted enroll the student. So I passed the exam to have a chance to go to Beijing, study in Beijing College for 2 years. Then God opened another door, very expected door to me. My English teacher, Harold Xu, Would you show the picture of my professor? Standing in the middle, the young man with glasses is my English teacher, Harold Xu. He used to be an excellent, outstanding English interpreter to Mao Zedong and Premier Zhu. In early 1950s, he was born and grew up in Shanghai. His father was an German-educated engineer. Harold Xu was educated at St. John's University in Shanghai, where he became fluent in English. This university had been founded in 1879 by American missionary. Because of his background, he was politically, for that kind of early 60s, he was jailed and imprisoned more than 30 years. He was not released until China began to change in the middle of 80s. At the time, I didn't know that he was secretly Christian. One day I told Professor Xu about my dream for education. He encouraged me to prepare for testing of English as foreign language, we know it as TOEFL exam. So Professor Xu guided me through the process of applying university in the United States. I remember I applied 4 or 5 universities, but I received 2 university admission letters. One is from Fresno University. Another one is CSU Chico. Of course, I know nothing about these 2 schools, but I looked 2 letters. Chico, for some reason, easy to pronounce, easy to remember. So that's the one. Eventually, I came to CSU Chico, beautiful Chico. I graduated from CSU Chico with organizational communication as major and marketing as minor. And later on, I have complete my MBA. I'm very grateful for all friends congratulating me for getting educated and got the university degree. I'm deeply thankful to my dear husband, Bob Bay. He supported me spiritually, emotionally, and financially as I pursue my education and fulfill my dream. In 1 week, we're going to celebrate of God's love and blessing together for 28 years. Today, I also want to take this opportunity to thank everybody in front of you. You open your arm to welcome me, who has come from far away with different backgrounds, different culture, and funny accent, English. And your love and support helped me gradually become a true member of Faith Lutheran Church and a true American citizen. I love Chico. I love California. I love United States of America. Here is God good field, and this is true home for the rest of my life. When I look back over those many, many years, I can see God's patience. I thought I was searching for education, but in reality, God lead me step by step toward Himself. Yes, this is a big harvest of my life, but I believe those degrees are not God's the greatest harvest in my life. I will tell you why. The greatest harvest came much later. I told you during the Cultural Revolution, I got a lot of scar. The wounds of Cultural Revolution remain deeply inside of me. A lot of evening, I had nightmares that people chasing me, beating me, and kick me in the dark, deep bottom of the well. I was crying and yell for help. Sometimes I woke up with tears. The weeds was still growing inside of me. About 5 years ago, God began to change my heart little by little. He gave me the grace to forgive. Not because those people who hurt me are right, not because those suffering was not important, but because Jesus had told us to forgive. Now I understand why Master said, let's both grow together until the harvest. If I had spent my whole life trying to pull up every wheat, the bitterness might destroy the wheat God has planted inside me. Instead, God protects the roots. He preserves hope. He preserved compassion. He preserved my heart until I was totally, finally be able to forgive. That, I believe, is the greatest harvest of my life. Jesus ends the parable with those beautiful words. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The final harvest has not yet arrived. We still live in a field where wheat and weeds grow together. There is still evil. There is still injustice. There is still suffering. But evil does not have the last words. Jesus does. The Lord of Harvest has never lost their control of his field. Looking back over all our lives, I no longer see only the weeds, I see God's harvest. China reopened, resumed the education in 1978. Up to now, there are more than 3,000 university colleges in China, and over 40 million students enrolled in school. That is the greatest harvest of the world. But the biggest harvest I have seen is the harvest in my own life. A frightened little girl become a lifelong learner. A poor Chinese girl who was bullied for being not right enough become a woman who shared God's love and words with all of you today. A woman who was trapped in the dark and deep well by painful memories, has set free through forgiveness. Only Christ can produce such a harvest. Instead of trying to pull up every weed of bitterness from our lives, may we faithfully to believe the good seeds God planted within all of us. Amen.